Amen. Good morning. Well, my name is Jared. I'm the pastor here at Living Truth East Milton. I want to welcome you guys this morning. Excited you came to worship with us this morning. I bet most of you did not expect to see all those cars out there this morning, right? 40-team lacrosse tournament. News to me this morning. So what a wonderful ministry opportunity we have after church today. We can go watch some lacrosse. And just so you know, next week, there's going to be the Renaissance Fair. So you're going to see people riding, like walking around in medieval garb. But then you can go get you a turkey leg after church next Sunday. So that will be going on next Sunday. But again, we're glad you're here this morning. I'm excited you came to worship with us today. If you're new this morning, I want to welcome you. If you are new this morning, I would encourage you to look in your bulletin. There's a nice, lovely connect card in that bulletin that Tracy and Melissa Locke worked really hard on. So if you're new this morning, I encourage you to fill that out. We want to connect with you and your family. You can drop it off at the connect table or the giving station or give it to me after the service this morning. We want to connect with your family. Or if you're a member, it's a great way to submit prayer requests, things like that. But it's there for your benefit. So, but this morning we're going to do something a little bit different. Last week we finished up the book of Acts. Next week we're going to start our series in 1st and 2nd Corinthians called The Church in Real Life. So I encourage you to come back next week. But this week we have Pastor Sean Bice, who is the dad of our Sean Bice, that's going to bring God's word this morning. I know Sean is loving that I mentioned that this morning. And as he makes his way up, Pastor Bice is just got the interim role at First Baptist Navarre, but he's going to bring God's word for us this morning. And in just a moment, I'm going to pray for him. But as we pray, I want to pray for those people in Ukraine one more time, and also those in Russia. Like Scripture says, pray for your enemies too, right? But as I was watching that this week, you know, we live in a modern society, right? And I'm you know, my wife and I have supported some special needs orphanages in Ukraine over the years. And I was thinking about those families. I was thinking about like my kids in the car coming to church this morning and what it would be like if missiles were going off above me. And like, so I just can't imagine what those parents are feeling with their kids and things like that. So I know we live way over here and it's easy to flip the news off, but keep them in your prayers this week. But also, pray for those that are attacking them as well. So we're going to pray for that. We're going to pray for Pastor Sean this morning, and then he's going to bring God's word this morning. So y'all pray with me one more time this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this place. God, we thank you that your goodness never ends, that you are good here, you are good across the globe. God, that you never leave us or forsake us. And this morning we lift up those families in the Ukraine. We lift up the church in the Ukraine. God, we pray for your protection. We pray for your peace. We pray that you would remind them that you are still God this morning. God, and we pray for those persecuting them. God, we pray for the leadership of Russia. We pray for those that are in the military. We pray for the citizens of Russia, God. God, we pray that you would convict their hearts, that you would reveal yourself to them, that they would surrender their lives to the Lord Jesus. God, we know that you are in this, and we pray that we would just trust you and trust your faithfulness in what's going on throughout the world. Your word does say that it's going to get worse before it gets better, that these are the kind of things we are to expect, but they're not things for us to run away from, but to run towards so that we can share the gospel, so that people have hope when there is no hope. God, and this morning, I pray that you be with Pastor Bice as he brings your word this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak boldly through him this morning, God, and just that we would receive it and respond, God, and that this would be a great time of fellowship this morning and worship. And we just surrender this to you in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's a real privilege for me to have the opportunity to be with you this morning. I've been excited and looking forward to this for a couple of weeks since Pastor Jared invited me to come and speak. So what I'm going to do is invite you to take your Bibles and find 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And once you get to 1 Thessalonians, go ahead and turn to chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's one of the Apostle Paul's little letters near the back of the New Testament. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now while you're turning there, let me just say by way of introduction that as we think about church, I know as Pastor Jared just shared, you guys are in between series. So having spent quite a bit of time in the book of Acts, getting ready to take a journey through 1 Corinthians, and I know that'll be a lot of fun, opportunity to study on a little more detailed level, another letter from the hand of the Apostle Paul, and so that'll be exciting. So here we are in between, and my goal this morning is just kind of offer a word of encouragement, because that's what Paul does in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, if you were to take out your smartphone this morning, and while I'm preaching, you know, if things get slow and you wanted to Google something, and you looked up the word encourage on Webster's online, here's what you would find. To encourage means to inspire with courage or hope. It can also mean to spur somebody on or to encourage some action or to stimulate an action. And that happens sometimes when people encourage us, right? We get encouragement for doing something, and that causes us to want to do more. I mean, I can even give you a relevant example. Just a few weeks ago here, our son, Sean, had to be out, but my wife and I were here, Gloria and I were here, and after the service, I kind of kidded somebody and said, well, I feel like I need to take up some of our son's slack for, you know, helping break down stuff. He couldn't be here, and so I helped. We helped take down some stuff. And I got a text that afternoon that thanked me for helping take down and break down the church. Man, I was encouraged by that. And in reality, just like the definition said, it made me want to do more. Now, I didn't. But it made me want to. I was encouraged when I got that text. But when you think about the world in which we live and think about things that are going on from time to time, it's nice to be encouraged, isn't it? It's nice to get that note of encouragement. And in fact, if there's one place in the world today, according to the Bible, where we ought to be able to receive encouragement and encourage one another, it's here in the church. In fact, the writer of the book of Hebrews says this, "We should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but we should encourage one another more and more as that day approaches." Now, the writer of the book of Hebrews certainly is speaking about the day when Jesus will return. But his point is, as that day gets closer and closer, we should be encouraging one another as that day approaches. And by the way, today, we're one day closer to that day. Now, I'm not trying to set any dates because the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. But I know it's coming, and I know we're closer now than we were last Sunday at this time. And we should be encouraging one another. And so if there's one place in the world where people ought to be able to be encouraged, it's here in church. Well, that brings us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, what I'd like to do is read beginning in verse 13 and just read down through the end of the chapter, which is verse 18. And I want you to hear what the Apostle Paul says to the believers in Thessalonica as he writes to them on this occasion. 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul writes this, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep." Had to be a Baptist group he was writing to, right? About those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, we will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive and remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, the term in the original language that's translated comfort here is a word that can also be translated encourage. And in fact, in some of your Bibles, depending on the English translation you have, that very well might be what you're looking at. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And so the question I'm prompted to ask is this. Okay, Paul, what words? What have you written here that you intend for us to use to help encourage each other? And so that's a question we're going to ask and let these verses respond to this morning. But I would like to say another quick prayer as we enter into our Bible study time. So if you would join me, we'll pray. God, I am so grateful for the opportunity to be here today. So grateful for your word, and so grateful for the privilege of being able of studying your word together. Now, Father, we pray very simply this. As we open your word, would you open our ears and help us to hear from you. This we pray right now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So verse 18, therefore encourage one another with these words. Okay, what words? What can we use, what can we learn from this passage that will help us encourage one another in the days in which we live? Well, first, we can encourage one another according to this passage because of what we have hope. We can encourage one another because of what we have hope. Now look again at verse 13 with me and see what Paul writes. We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Now, we need to take a moment and think about what was going on in this day in Thessalonica, because there's an issue that the Apostle Paul is trying to address. So on his second missionary journey, which is recorded, by the way, in the book of Acts. You guys have just finished studying Acts. If you were to go back and review some of your study notes from Acts, Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul goes to Thessalonica. And he spends a short time there, preaches, and folks come to know the Lord. A church is started. And so Paul left Thessalonica to continue his journey on, in his second missionary journey. Acts 17, leaves Thessalonica, goes to Berea, leaves Berea, makes his way to Corinth. That's Acts 18. And then after Corinth, he continued his second missionary journey and moving towards Ephesus. Anyway, you guys have gone through the study of Acts. Well, since the time Paul left Thessalonica, and now he is writing them back, he has gotten word. Somebody tweeted to Paul, he's gotten word that the believers at Thessalonica are really struggling with an issue. What's the issue? Well, since Paul has left Thessalonica and continued on his journey, some folks in Thessalonica have passed away. They've died. And the believers in Thessalonica are kind of find themselves wondering, well, what happens if somebody passes away? What happens if they die before the Lord returns? And that's part of the issue that the Apostle Paul is trying to address in these verses. And so he's trying to say to them, you don't have to worry about them. If they know the Lord and they've died, we're not going to go before them. They're going before us. But what Paul is saying to them is this, you don't have to grieve over your loved ones who are believers who have died. You don't have to grieve as those who have no hope. Why? Because you have hope. Because we as believers have hope. Part of what we can use to encourage one another in these days, part of what we can use to comfort one another, is the fact that we have hope. So Paul says here at the end of verse 13, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Now, Paul recognizes when somebody passes away, and rightfully so, there's grief. We grieve, right? Absolutely. There's going to be a seat at the dinner table that's empty. There's going to be a spot in church that is not filled. We miss people who pass. Absolutely. I'm a a University of Georgia grad, big dog fan, and certainly excited even a month later that, national championship and all that good stuff. But my dad passed from this life in 2015. And, you know, there have been times, I grew up playing sports, loving sports. He coached some of the teams I played on. He introduced me to golf. And anyway, through the years, even when I wasn't at home, we'd call or chat about sports. Did you see that happen at the Masters? How about that play in that game? But, you know, on January the 10th, I couldn't text him and say, how about them dogs? Because where he is, he's not really worried about football, prancing around on streets of gold. But so is there grief? Absolutely. But I don't grieve as those that have no hope. Because we have hope. We have hope when our loved ones who know the Lord pass. Why? Because we know we're going to be seeing them again. And so Paul says part of what we can do as believers, part of how we can encourage one another is to remind each other we can be encouraged today because of what we have. We have hope. Now, in these verses, the Apostle Paul grounds that hope in two realities. What are those two realities? We'll look at verse 14 with me again. Paul says this, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," well, let me just stop there. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, the Apostle Paul says part of the reason we can have hope is grounded in the fact that Jesus died and rose again. See, we can have a living hope today because we have a living Savior. And so part of what Paul grounds the message of hope in is the reality of the resurrection. But Paul doesn't stop there. Look at verse 15. "For we say this to you by the word of the Lord." See, the second reality here that Paul uses to ground our hope is this, the certainty, the truthfulness of the Word of God. We can encourage one another today because of what we have. What do we have? I'm a former teacher. I'm going to be asking questions. We have hope, absolutely. But the hope is not just some by or some pie in the sky type of hope. We can have hope because of two realities, the reality of the resurrection and the certainty of God's Word. We can encourage one another this morning because of what we have. We have hope. But there's a second concept presented here in these verses that the Apostle Paul uses. So first, we can encourage one another because of what we have, hope. Secondly, we can encourage one another because of who is coming to get us? Jesus. Look at what Paul writes in verse 16. In verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven." Now, as a former teacher, I taught on the college and seminary level. And I always kept on hand in my office a good supply of red ink pens, grading papers and grading quizzes and grading exams. But I still use red ink pens, even though I'm not teaching, or not as much anyway. And in my Bible, I have the Word himself circled in red. And I know some folks don't like to mark in their Bibles. I respect that. But I have the Word himself. It's emphasized here. Paul says the Lord himself will descend from heaven. I don't know about you, but in my lifetime, I've been picked up, or I've had various types of people come to get me. When we lived in New York, before we moved to Florida, I was privileged to have the opportunity to serve as the director of a campus of the seminary where I taught. And as the director, part of my duties meant I would take regular trips to Memphis, Tennessee, where our main campus was. And I got to know a guy in Memphis, Tennessee that was affiliated with the seminary, and we got to be good friends. His name was Larry. I won't tell you his last name just in case you know Larry in Memphis. And so I would talk to Larry. Larry, I'm coming to Memphis. Hope I get a chance to see you. Larry said, I'll do you one better. Let me pick you up. Let me come and get you at the airport. Boy, that'd be cool, Larry. I wouldn't have to rent a car. You come get where we could visit and fellowship and catch up. And boy, I remember one of the first times I went to Memphis from New York, and I walked out of baggage claim, and Larry was waiting on me in his Mercedes. I've ridden in a lot of nice vehicles, but boy, I'd never ridden in a Mercedes that was quite this nice. I'm talking about real wood on the dashboard, like a mahogany. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. This thing was really, really nice. I thought, man, boy, and it just kind of glided on the highway. And so I enjoyed that ride. Well, the next trip, I'm calling Larry. Larry, coming to Memphis. He says, well, let me pick you up at the airport. I'll come get you. Man, okay. I would enjoy that. So I walk out of baggage claim, and there's Larry, but he's in a different car. And he said, I hope you don't mind if I come in this car. And I kind of kid him and say, well, it's not what I'm used to, but this is okay. Larry would come and get me at the airport. I've had other people come and get me in the past to give me rides various places. But in my almost 60 years, you know who I've never had show up at my doorstep to get me? Royalty. I've never had any royalty show up at my doorstep to pick me up. But you know what this verse reminds me of? One day, that sky's going to pop wide open, and a king on a white horse is going to enter into the stage of history, and he's going to be coming for me. A king is going to be coming for me. Man, part of what we can use to encourage one another this morning is not only what we have hope, but who is coming to get me? Jesus is coming to get me. The Lord himself, Paul writes, will descend from heaven. Man, that's encouraging. Well, there's one other thought here that Paul mentions that I want you to be aware of this morning. Man, in this the day and age in which we live, we can encourage one another. How can we encourage one another? Because of what we have? What do we have? All right. We have hope. We can encourage one another because of who's coming to get us. Who's coming? Jesus. Well, there's a third thought here that Paul addresses, and that's this. We can encourage one another this morning because of where we're going. Heaven. Where we're going. We can encourage one another today because of where we're going. You know, the Bible tells us in other places that we are just as believers, we're like strangers. We're like sojourners. We're just passing through. And we're passing through in this life. And don't get me wrong, I'm enjoying the journey. And I'm grateful for the walk with the Lord and opportunities I've had to do different things and to go to different places. And we served as missionaries in Brazil. And that was a lot of fun, sometimes a lot of stress, but a lot of fun. We've been to New York, traded the white sands of Brazil for the white snow in New York, and now we're back in the South again. Hallelujah. Glad to be back in the South. But we're just passing through. And as we know the Lord in a personal way, we have a home waiting for us in heaven. And part of what we can say to each other, part of what we can use to encourage one another is that concept. We can encourage one another because of where we're going, heaven. Now, I want you to notice how Paul describes it. Look again with me at verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. We shall always be with Him. And so as you think about what Paul's saying here, it's this. We can encourage one another because of where we're going to be one day. We're going to be with the Lord always in heaven. We can encourage one another because of where we're going. Now, by the way, this is not the first time you see this idea presented to us in the New Testament. If we took time this morning, we could go back to the Gospel of John and look at the very words of Jesus in John chapter 14. On that occasion, Jesus has just shared with His disciples that He's going to be leaving and going to be with His Father. The end of John chapter 13 tells us that His disciples are a little distressed about this. John 14 begins in John 14:1 with these words, "You believe in God, believe in Me also." And Jesus goes on in verses 2 and 3 of John chapter 14 and says, "Man, let me tell you something. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to get you and to take you so you will be with Me forever." So Jesus Himself shared with His disciples on that occasion, He's leaving, yes. He's going to prepare a place for them, yes. But He will be coming back for them. See, part of what we have that we can use to encourage one another is not only the hope we have, not only the fact that Jesus is coming to get us, but that we'll be with Him one day forever in heaven. That we'll have that place where we'll go and be with Him forever and ever. Jesus is preparing a place for us. Now, what kind of place? Well, in my mind, it's a place close to the beach that has all windows that just open where you see the water all the time and sunshine and blue skies. Well, the Bible gives us a little bit different picture, right? A place where Revelation chapter 21 says a place where there's no more crying, no more pain, no more death. That's a pretty nice place. A place where streets are paved with gold. A place where gates around the city, the gates themselves are made of pearls. Man, I've been to a lot of nice places as we've lived and been around. I've never been any place where I saw streets paved with gold. If we went to Revelation 22, the very last chapter, the very last book in the Bible, we would see a further expanded description of heaven and this new Jerusalem and this new city and what John tells us about this place where God is and where we're going to be going. And man, the fact that you don't need lights even in heaven. Why? God's there. Jesus is there. They'll be our light. And to think about the descriptions of heaven. Part of what we can use to encourage one another in this day and age is this. We can encourage one another because of where we're going, heaven. Hey, this morning, Paul writes, and we've read in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, "Therefore, comfort or encourage one another with these words." What words do we have to use to encourage and comfort one another? We can encourage and comfort one another this morning because of what we have. What do we have? Hope. Man, absolutely. We can encourage one another this morning because of who's coming to get us. Who's coming? And we can encourage one another this morning because of where we're going. Heaven. Boy, I'm so grateful for this passage in the book of 1 Thessalonians. I can't tell you how many times I have read and studied 1 Thessalonians and gotten to this point, and these verses at the end of chapter 4 have spoken to me, have encouraged me, and challenged me to think about the hope that we have, the Savior that we have and the home that we have waiting for us. Well, we're coming to conclude our time of Bible study. And here in just a moment, we are going to have an invitation time. And so as we prepare for the invitation time, as the musicians come on back on stage, here in just a second, I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And after I pray, the musicians will play and lead us. And as the Lord has spoken this morning, maybe something's on your heart, and these mats are here, and you can come and kneel and pray on these mats. Pastor Jared reminded me before the service started, he's available. If you need somebody to pray with you, you just come and get beside him and share with him. He's willing to pray with you. But maybe you're here this morning and you don't know about that hope that we spoke about just a second ago, and the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus. You've heard about Jesus, or you've heard people talk about the gospel or what it means to know the Lord, but you're not sure of that hope. And boy, maybe you would share that with Pastor Jared today, and he could help you understand what the Bible says with reference to knowing Jesus in a personal way. Maybe there's something else that's on your heart this morning. You just want to come and kneel on one of these mats here and just pour out your heart before the Lord. Well, while the musicians play, that's your opportunity to come and do business with the Lord. But I'm going to pray, and after I pray, we will enter into the time of invitation. Would you join me as we pray? God, I am so grateful this morning for the encouragement from your word. So grateful for the reminders that the Apostle Paul gives us through this letter to the believers in Thessalonica. Thank you. And so, Lord, as we transition now from the Bible study time to the invitation time, we want to pray for those that have heard your still small voice this morning. And we ask you, O God, to help them be obedient to you. And so our prayer is that as your Spirit speaks, folks would follow and do what needs to be done. So we give this invitation time to you now, our Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen. You guys can be seated. And know that the response time never really ends. So we're here if you feel like you need to talk to somebody afterwards. But I want to thank Sean for bringing the message this morning. I really appreciate that. And, we just can't escape the encouragement thing, right? I know some of you that are anti-people, you really wish we'd quit talking about encouragement. Because encouragement means you have to be plugged in with other people in order to receive it, right? You got to have people around you to encourage you to receive that encouragement. And some of you are like, man, I wish we'd quit talking about it, but the Bible keeps bringing it up. Because you know why? To live the Christian life, you need encouragement, because it gets really, really hard. And you have to have somebody pushing you, comforting you, spurring you on, as the author of Hebrews said, to do what God has called you to do, all right? And we have to encourage people with what? What is it that we have to encourage people with? All right, hope. All right. I'm going to try that next week, too, see if y'all do that just as good. Before we leave this morning, I want to just point out a few things in your bulletin. Coming up in a few weeks, we have a baby dedication. We're going to do some baptisms a week or two after that. So if you want to get in on either one of those, and I have not talked to you yet, or you're like, I'm not sure if I've talked to him, come and talk to me to make sure we're on that list so you don't show up on the morning of the baby dedication and like, wish I was in on that or something like that. Or, you know, the baptism is not that hard to do. We can just dunk you, and if you're wet, you're wet. You know, it's your ride home. So the baby dedication is a little harder to plug you in on, so make sure you let me know about that one. Like I said, February is kind of a lax month. Next month, we're going to start getting after it again, so you better put on your big boy pants and your big girl pants, because we're going to start getting after it. We're going to have a couple opportunities to get out and share the gospel. One of those is going to be, I think it's April 9th. Is that right, Jason and Teresa, April 9th? Yes, okay. If you didn't know, Jason and Teresa work at Martial Arts America, and they're going to have a big karate thing. I'm sure I'm totally butchering what it is, but We're going to have a presence there, and they can attract a very big crowd, very similar to the one outside right here. And so if you want to help be involved in that, we're going to have a table. We're probably going to give away something free. See me. We want to be there and minister to those people and just, you know, share the love of Jesus. And then we got Easter coming up. We're going to have some Easter cards pretty soon for you guys to pass out. We're sending out 1,500 mailers this year to East Milton alone. So start praying and prepping for Easter, all right? Start praying for the harvest, right? Okay? So I encourage you to do that. And I'm sure I missed some things in the bulletin, but you guys are big boys and girls. You guys can read it. If you have any questions, you can see me later. But we love you guys. I hope to see you guys next week. Men, I already heard this morning. The men's retreat is next weekend. We're going to be there Friday night. So if you paid, don't forget about it, all right? Like, we want you to be there. Don't forget and say, I thought it was the next week. It is this Friday. Be there at Camp Baldwin. If you have any questions, see me. We love you guys. If you guys can help us just put the chairs against the wall, it'd be great. And we'll see y'all next week. Thank you.